As mentioned with the children, our scripture gospel lesson this day comes from Luke, reading from the first chapter, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, our focus for the season of Advent this year has been a bit different. Starting with the passages concerning John the Baptist preparing the way for the long-awaited Messiah, we have approached these weeks before Christmas Day as sort of a journey through the wilderness. In Advent, we've experienced shares a common ground with the season of Lent as a season of preparation. And as such, we've been invited to a time of reflection upon our own spiritual journey as individuals and as a community of faith. And from a spirituality perspective, the purpose of such reflection is to help us reconnect with God. And from a progressive theological standpoint, I'd add, connecting as you understand the nature and character of God to be. Now, writer, poet, and artist Jan Richardson frames it as a time to let go of that which insulates us from God. I like that. And the hectic pace of the month of December, being what it has become in this country, can be such a distraction that it's not hard to get sidetracked in taking the time to reflect on our own journey of faith. And I will admit, it has been harder than usual for many of us to feel the desire to reflect upon this past year. Beyond the personal, look what's happened just within the past week in our nation's capital. A government shutdown over the U.S.-Mexico border wall, or perhaps now we should call it a steel slat wall. And also the key resignations in the administration. The Associated Press just released their top news stories of 2018. To spark your memory, they include the Saudi-authorized Khashoggi killing, the Kavanaugh Supreme Court hearings, the climate change issues, including the historic destruction with the California wildfires, the devastating East Coast hurricanes and other natural disasters, the ever-continuing drama coming out of Robert Mueller's Trump-Russia probe, the continuing revelations and consequences of the hashtag MeToo movement involving sexual misconduct, the midterm elections, the non-stop parade of mass shootings, including the one in February at Parkland, Florida High School, and the zero-tolerance United States immigration policy at our Mexican border that resulted in more than 2,500 migrant children being separated from their families, and as some of us have perceived it, kept in cages. Well, perhaps the most disturbing part of all of this is that so many people in this nation are becoming so desensitized and numb to such horrible news that we are losing the capacity to be shocked by any of this. Anger, outrage, and even disgust, yes. But outright shock and surprise? Not so much. Well, I learned a new term during a worship and music ministry team meeting last month when we were discussing this theme of Advent. It's called the Tyson Zone. Any of you know it? It refers back to the barrage of incredibly bizarre headlines following the actions of heavyweight boxer Mike Tyson a few years ago. And coined by a popular sports columnist, Bill Simmons, the sports guy, the online UrbanDictionary.com defines the Tyson Zone this way. The point at which a celebrity's behavior becomes so insane that there is literally nothing that they could do that would any longer shock or surprise you, or indeed any human being. Well, when it comes to daily headlines, perhaps we have reached the Tyson Zone. Is there any headline that we couldn't believe anymore? I don't think so. And have we lost then our ability to experience sheer awe and shock and even wonder? Now, all of this may sound like a very strange introduction to today's biblical story of the angel Gabriel's visits to Mary announcing that she will conceive a child. But it may serve as a way for us to reclaim the gift of being shocked and surprised. This story is meant to share a mysterious moment when heaven and earth momentarily meet and God chooses an ordinary young woman as an instrument of God's mercy and love and grace. A moment for which words and concepts and intellectual propositions are hopelessly inadequate, and which art and music come much closer to expressing. The encounter with Mary reminds us that God cares deeply about our human condition. God chooses a modest, nondescript young woman. And expanding that, we learn that God chooses to be with the modest and the marginalized, the poor and the weak, the humble and the forgotten. Mary reminds us that God can use modest men and women, young and old, you and me, who do not seem to have much to commend them, not much that the world recognizes as important or powerful. Mary reminds us that we should expect God to show up, not only in inspired worship and beautiful art and music and fancy theology, but where the poor people are forgotten, vulnerable people are oppressed, weak people overlooked. Mary's a part of a movement, in fact, that is a political agenda advocating for human rights and equal justice and the excruciatingly difficult work of peacemaking. But it is more than that. Mary's a reminder of the most distinctive characteristic of biblical faith, namely the profound compassion and love of God. How you and I respond to that loving presence in our life, how we ponder all these things in our hearts, as Mary did, will help determine a way of life in which we can live more fully in the moment, a way we can experience the shocking presence of God working in and through your life and mine, through this congregation. Now, referring back
to Jan Richardson. She sees this story of Gabriel's visit to Mary as revealing how Mary and we can make a home for God. And it all begins, Richardson says, with what she calls Mary's awful and wondrous yes. That's how she closes her poem, A Blessing for After, that we heard read this morning during the lighting of the Advent wreath. Richardson speaks of the blessing that arises after clarity has come, after you have agreed to what seemed impossible, after illumination departs and you realize that there is no map for the path ahead, but that you garner the courage to set out anyway. And the blessing goes with you. And from time to time, you hold it up to remind yourself of the radiance that came when you gave your awful and wondrous yes to God. Again, from a spirituality perspective, I believe this blessing is the realization that you and I are indeed a home for God. And perhaps we need to give God an awful and wondrous yes in realizing that very fact. And Richardson reflects, the story of the Annunciation to Mary tells us of how, with her own body, Mary makes a home for God. The medium of her own flesh becomes a habitation for the holy. It's not simply her willingness to become pregnant and give birth to Jesus, however, that makes Mary someone who provides a dwelling for God. When Gabriel first greets her, what does he say to her? The Lord is with you. Already, God has found a home with her. Mary's yes to Gabriel, her assent to God, her willingness to make a home for the divine within her own self. These all give the lie to a history that too often depicts Mary as meek and mild. Her response to God and the work that she takes up are the actions of a prophet in the ancient Hebrew sense of it. One who recognizes the presence of God in the world, who points it out to others, and who does not give up hope that the people will come to know God. Meekness and mildness are not enough to sustain Mary in this prophetic and pastoral work. And likewise, our ministry here at College Hill, and most likely in your own life, is also one that takes courage and risk and the faith to believe that we are doing the work that God has called us to do. So perhaps we need to take a closer look at the verse of Scripture where the angel Gabriel declares to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Overshadow, inhabit, dwell. This is how the Spirit works, seeking to make a home within us. One that is not an exclusive walled shelter either. It is a spacious home that, like Mary, we are challenged to offer to God. A dwelling that reveals the presence of God rather than hiding it away. So how is God seeking to make a home with you this season? How is God asking you and our faith community to give birth to the holy? And what audacious yes might God be inviting you to offer? How does making a home for the sacred help you find a place for yourself in this world? And what sustains you in this prophetic and pastoral work? Well, in this and every season, may we, like Mary, be a home for the God who desires to dwell with us and within us. And perhaps this will help us to regain the gift of being chalked, of being able to ponder all of these things in our hearts. Blessings and amen.